Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling right along on this Wednesday morning.
Yeah, picking up new listeners, too. All the kids at California Trail listening to our segment this morning, Dusty. Look at them all gathered around listening to the phone, right? All the kids win the city championship.
That's cool.
Led by Tommy and the fellas all listening
that
this morning.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
California Trail city champs yesterday. Four overtime thriller.
12-6 final score.
12-6-5. Yeah. So I text, like, we're going to overtime. No score. And Max, like, gotta love soccer. I'm like, no, this is football.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's football championship. What the heck?
This is middle school, eighth grade football championships. Four overtimes yesterday.
That's
the
awesome.
Parents were into it. I mean, it was really just a cool scene. So congratulations again to the kids at California Trail for winning that thriller in overtime yesterday against PT. I think it's Pioneer Trail is who they were playing.
What time did that game start?
3:45.
What time did it get over?
About 6 o'clock.
Good.
Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah. And they're 8-minute quarters. You know, you would think these things would move on, but
because they can run out of daylight.
We're getting to that point.
I was saying, it's over.
Yeah, I said to one of the dads, I'm like, we don't have much more time because there's no lights out here right now. We got to get this thing moving and finish this thing up. So four overtimes, they win it. It was great.
You could have seen the comet in the western sky after leaving the game.
It was still light out, though. Hmm. It was not dark enough. And by the time it got dark enough, you know, then you're at home, you know, doing whatever it is.
If you're looking for it, western sky, you'll see like an orangey star. That's Venus. Mm-hmm. Go to the right of it and you'll see a streaking star or a comet.
Is it out again tonight?
It will be. It'll be out all the way. It'll be least visible. It will get lower. It'll get less visible throughout the week, but like Thursday is really your last real good chance
what
to see
time
it. You want to get outside around, like, what I noticed last night is around 6:50, between 6:50 and 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
All right. 6:50 and 7 p.m. and you can see that in the western
how long
sky.
Does it last up there? Is it just like a one, and if you miss it, you miss it type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I mean, I went two times. I'm a nerd, dude. I love space. I went and drove around at 6:45, mm-hmm. and I could see it. It looked like the plane vapor.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
And then I went back at like 7:15, and it was gone.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's out there, though.
Yeah.
The western skyline. There's Venus to the left, and then to the right, you'll see the little streak. And you can see with the naked eye, but if you have binos or binoculars, people call them.
Do you have binoculars for this?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have binoculars for a different reason. Because when
I was in... Peeping Tom or something?
Yes. Yeah. No. When I did college sports, I was the play-by-play announcer for Warrensburg High School. And my spotter didn't have binoculars. So I had some, and I kept my backpack ever since. And then, you know, started going to Royals games, Chiefs games. Would, you know, go down there, see who's in the bullpen, tell Vern, be like, hey, they got so-and-so's up. Okay, thanks, man. Appreciate it. So, but then I realized that they would just get on the PA system.
Yeah, like you didn't have to do that.
So-and-so's warming up in the bullpen right now. Okay. Yeah.
Vern's like, thanks for sharing that information. But if you can get it to him first, then you can break that news.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, as first reported by Josh Vernier.
From the text line, Bob, did you hear Cody calling you out for searching up OnlyFans on your computer?
I wasn't think that's searching that up, but I don't even open the internet browser on the computer.
I was say it's just literally on the rush the field screensaver.
Yeah, it's Binkley. That's all I got on there, yeah.
Who's more successful on OnlyFans, Binkley or Cody Tapp?
Binkley. Yeah.
Cody could sing.
But Bink and Chew.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch me fill this cup full of spit for 4 hours. Donate in the lower right corner, and I'll get you a shout out on the air. Don't forget, Mac and Drew Nixon host After Hours tonight from 7 to 9. Oh, you want to tune into those hot takes? You have some Royals content one last time before we wrap the season up, I think.
You know, I was kind of scouring the interwebs yesterday, and this is where I'm like, okay, let me see what these people are saying, right? And the headline got me. Three dream offseason moves the Royals can make.
Please tell me one doesn't say Juan Soto.
No.
Okay.
No. Number three. You tell me if these are dream moves, okay? Again, sometimes I think these things are written by AI because it comes from MSN.com.
Mm.
Number three. Elevating top prospects to the MLB, first of all, the MLB, would be a solid choice going forward. That's number three in dream moves for the Royals this offseason.
Okay.
Number two. You ready?
Yep.
Adding a closer would be the best decision for the Royals this winter. Mm-hmm. We got one of those. And number one, adding a middle infielder to pair with Bobby Witt would be perfect for Kansas City.
A middle infielder. So,
first of all, any of those.
Well, Massey's going to play second. Right. Bobby's going to play short. So they're looking at maybe.
That's correct. That's it. There's nowhere. Stop trying to figure it out. This to me is obviously clickbait, a waste of everybody's time using AI. This is the problem with AI, is they peddle junk and crap like this. That doesn't make any sense. Three dream moves for the Royals. Juan Soto is a dream move, right?
Right.
Anthony Santander, that's a dream move. Going out and getting Blake Snell, that's a dream move. This AI generated article said that they should promote guys from the minor leagues, find a middle infielder for Bobby Witt, and get a closer. They have Lucas Ursig under contract for like the next century. Like, I think his contract's longer than Bobby Witt's. They don't need a middle infielder because Michael Massey's really good at second base. And who from the minor leagues are you promoting, and at what position right now are you bringing somebody up? Like, dream moves to me, more like stupid moves like that. I mean, obvious nonsense that's being peddled out there for the Royals. Like, if I were to say to you, what's your dream move this offseason for the Royals? What's your answer to that question?
I think they need to address third base. And I think they need to address the outfield.
Yeah.
Which, from what we heard yesterday from J.J. Piccolo's audio that he addressed to the media after the season-ending season press conference, they want to add a leadoff hitter slash right fielder. But obviously, I think they also kind of let some undertones of M.J. Melendez is still a part of this team.
That's exactly right.
So I think M.J. Melendez is still your left fielder, like it or not, roll your eyes, whatever. Baseball's still like 164 days away for starting spring training. But I think what the Royals look at right now, at least going into next season, MJ Melendez will be your left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Right field, I think that's where they look to add something. Renfro has an $8 million option he could pick up. I think he does. I don't think he gets more than that in the trade market or the free agency market. So he would be back as well. Tommy Pham, obviously, going to be gone from the team. But I think if my dream scenario, I think you go find a right fielder and then maybe you kind of see what Lance Bregman's market is at third base.
Oh, I don't hate that.
I know that's a name that pisses a lot of people off due to the allegation that Houston had with cheating.
Everybody again, cheats.
Right, except the Chiefs. And they just have the refs.
Right.
But I think that's a name, that's a guy that could come to a team that has like that veteran leadership who maybe it's time to move on from Houston. Like, they kind of had their last hurrah, I think, this year. I know they have some talent within that system. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Alvarez and Altuve is going to play until he can't, obviously. But you look at, like, Lance Bregman's not going to come back. They gave him, like, the whole swan song thing.
And
his
he
last
said
game.
On Twitter he was done. Yeah. Thank you, Houston, and all that.
So he's a third baseman that could add a little bit of pop in your bat.
I
in the
don't
middle
hate
of the order.
That lineup at all, or that move.
When it comes to your minor league system, your number one prospect is obviously Jack Caglione. He's 21 years old. He was drafted this year. He's 6'5". He can pitch. He can play first base. He can DH. But again, you look at yourself and you think, where does he fit on this team, and is he better than what we currently have? Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, right? The other big prospect.
And so if there's an opportunity to potentially trade him, mm-hmm. then that's something you do need to consider, you know?
And the other big name prospect is Blake Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who's their catcher.
Right.
But again, you look at what the season is. You have Frank Firmino, who's up for a Gold Glove Award. You have Salvador Perez, who's still going to catch. And then if you want to say, well, move him to first base, then that takes away your Jack Caglione, Vinny Pasquantino thing. And I was thinking of a perfect thing last night as I was watching a little bit, just a little bit of the Yankees game. Mm-hmm. If Vinny Pasquantino's ceiling is Anthony Rizzo, are you happy?
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was watching Anthony Rizzo last night.
Kind
of
good.
Kind of the same similarities, right?
Yeah.
Left-handed first baseman, also going through some metacarpal
issues,
phalange issues.
Could you imagine catching the baseball? The other night, Jazz Chisholm fired one over there like a rocket, and he's got these busted fingers. He got picked off last night.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it wasn't unlucky.
Yeah.
But I guess I can still hold on to that because I have sour grapes.
But you know what? That's good moving into next season. The rivalry aspect of things, I like that, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing is like, that's what's beautiful about having a couple of prospects that can be, you know, Blake Mitchell at one point was their number one prospect.
No doubt.
And he essentially was the guy that was going to take over the reins for Salvador Perez. Now, if he's better than Freddie Fermin, which Freddie Fermin had a good year, but it was in a smaller sample size than like a lot of people would like to see. Like, we didn't see Freddie Fermin at all.
And
in
maybe
that
that's
series.
The best sample size though for Freddie Fermin, right? You don't want to overexpose guys like Johnny Giavitella, Whit Merrifield. Like, you start to overexpose guys,
mm-hmm.
and then they come back to the pack a little bit.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Way that they use the rotation, if you want to call it that, at catcher with Freddie Fermin and Salvador Perez worked brilliantly. I don't think you change that at all because there is that possibility of overexposing Freddie Fermin. And then at the end of the season, he wasn't as good as he was for the majority of the year.
You know? Then a dark horse name that maybe some people forget about that could be a possibility to try out and trot out there in right field. It could be something of good as Gavin Cross. Because Gavin Cross has been in your system for a little bit, not super long, right. But he's been in there.
Well, Garcia could play the outfield. I know JJ said that the other day, and I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'll be honest with you. Mikel Garcia has been talked about in the past at playing some of those outfield spots, and if you can move him to the outfield and keep his bat at the lower part of the lineup and find a third baseman, that's a good move for you, I think.
Right. Or some people on the text line say maybe Caglione will play right field. Maybe since he's a pitcher and has a strong arm and you need a strong arm in right field, as sometimes you do. I mean, obviously you want your arm in left field. And then somebody says, you know, no way MJ Melendez left fielder would be a massive blow to the team, a massive fail. Look, I think that's what they see him as.
I think as of right now, you have to consider MJ being part of the organization.
Unless he's packaged in a deal like you would think that maybe you put Singer and MJ in a package deal and you're like, or it's, you know, a massive deal, and it's MJ, Singer, and Freddie Fermin.
Yeah.
Knowing what you have in your minor league system, knowing what you have on your active roster, and then you go get, like, a, you know, big-name starter. You go get, you know, like, somebody that could come to this team.
You make that next trade like you did with Zach Greinke. And I think that could be something that happens, you know, this offseason. And I was thinking about it the other day. The rest of 2024, the final couple months of this calendar year. We got, you know, November, December, you know, 2.5 months to go. Mm. I think it's more important for the Royals than it is for the Chiefs, quite frankly, because the Royals are going to start the offseason the week after the World Series ends. So, you know, November 7th-ish or something like that. Basically, the same day as the NFL trade deadline is when we're going to start kind of the offseason in Major League Baseball. And that's going to set the entire tone for the 2025 season, whether it's trades or signing, roster adjustments, all that kind of stuff. All that gets put into motion, you know, before the holiday season. All that happens, then the winter meetings happen, and a lot of stuff gets done at the winter meetings. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs right now for the rest of 2024 are just getting ready for the playoffs, right? Their season begins in January of 2025. But the Royals, I don't think they can afford to be quiet. The expectation is high, right? Like, if you were to ask the average Royals fan right now, which we all are, Mac, Dusty, Bob, what is your expectation right now for the Royals next season? It's to build on what they did this season, right? It's not to fall back to 100 losses or anything like that. It's to build on what you did next season. And I think as of right now, your expectation as a Royals fan should be win the division. That's the next step that you need to take. And you have to find a way to put yourself in the best possible position to win the division, because the White Sox, I promise you, you're not going to go 12-1 against the White Sox next year. They're just going to get better. Guys have more experience now, and they're going to allegedly improve the I don't know what, but you can't count on going 12-1 against the White Sox.
No, they're going 13-0.
Right, exactly. They could go 13-0, right? But you can't count on going 12-1 against the White Sox. They will be a better team. You made a lot of hay doing that, so you have to get better as well. The expectation is out there. Ownership has showed us they're willing to spend. JJ has showed us he's willing to go out there and make these moves. So I think these next couple of months, the final months of 2024, are much more important for the Royals and their future than it is for the Chiefs. We'll worry about the Chiefs and what is important for them once January 25 gets here and we've got the playoffs started.
And again, this was JJ that we played yesterday. Listen closely as you can kind of hear those little subtle notes of what the team's going to do next year.
You know, generally speaking, when you're looking at left field, right field, that's where you're thinking about. They're your power guys, you know, and we know this ballpark doesn't lend itself to homers, but it does lend itself to slug. So we've got to be more productive there. And that's where I think being optimistic about some of the guys that we have and looking at the experience they have, I think that's fine. Like, we shouldn't be writing guys off because they're in their third year in the major leagues.
That's your MJ line.
Yeah.
That's your 1,000% MJ line. He'll continue.
It takes some years to become good major league hitters. Now, along the way, that doesn't mean what – Hugh was able to do this year. You don't help them along. You help them succeed. You know, you don't put them in positions where they're going to fail. So if a left-handed hitter gets a left-handed pitcher, you want to have a right-handed side of that. And if that's how we have to go for the next year or two before guys really become everyday guys, that's the way we'll have to do it. But, you know, clearly, you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, you know, if Vinny doesn't get hurt, we got three guys over 100 RBIs. I think we would have been the only team in baseball that would have had three over 100 RBIs. They're carrying the lion's share of the offense and the production, and that's okay. So that should take more pressure off of the back end of the lineup. But again, the outfield is a spot that we need to be more productive.
I just got a text from somebody who scouts baseball players for a living, mm-hmm. and they said Blake Mitchell may be Joe Mauer.
Jesus.
I mean, so.
Okay. Hall of Fame catcher?
That type of player, right?
I mean, he's a top prospect in our system, in the Royals system. I mean, he was there, and then Jack Caglione got drafted, and he's just like, if Jack Caglione is 1A,
right.
Blake Mitchell is 1B, and it ain't that big of a gap.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, if you have potentially a guy that could be your next Joe Mauer, which is a 30-year catcher for you, mm-hmm. that's a, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer, maybe you don't want to look to trade him. But they need to get some bats. That lineup just wasn't long enough, as we saw in the postseason. Once you got past Salvi, there really wasn't much out there. And so I think JJ knows and understands you got to go out and get a bat this offseason. And I think you're going to have to spend that money most likely in free agency. And you may have to overspend, but again, that's the cost of doing business. I love Anthony Santander. That's the guy that's a top of my list. Mm-hmm. I've loved that guy for the last couple of years just watching Baltimore play. I think he'd be a nice fit. I think the fans would love him here in Kansas City.
And then some people from the A16, they bring back Waka. Look, Waka has a huge decision. I was talking like
big
this.
Time decision
I was talking about this last night with my buddy. And this is the thing about Michael Waka. He's got a $16 million option that he can pick up. And I've listened to Vern and I've listened to other baseball people as well. And like the smart thing for him to do would be to test the market.
No question.
But what we say is smart might be different to other people. Michael Waka is towards the end of his career. The reason Michael Waka is on the Royals roster is because of Seth Lugo. I think we can agree that Seth Lugo is not going anywhere. Seth Lugo and Michael Waka had a conversation. Hey, you're going to love Kansas City. Come check it out. It's a good place. The organization's nice. Everything here seems to be what we wanted in San Diego. Lugo comes here. Michael Waka comes here. Michael Waka is at the end of his career. He's won a World Series. He's won a World Series MVP. He's had lots of fortunate time in the MLB. Maybe also, let's just put this here, maybe he's tired of moving his family. Maybe he likes it in Kansas City. He's like, you know what? I'll take that option for $16 million. I'll play one more year. This team is really doing the right thing, going the right direction. We were this close to getting to the ALCS. I think I might just stick around and play one more year and call it a day and resign in Kansas City because he's lived in St. Louis. He's lived in Kansas City. Do the best of both worlds, and maybe he just sticks it out. Again, that's wishing in one hand and crapping in the other to see which one fills up faster, but there's also that sort of hypothetical to think about with Michael Waka as well.
And look, that's a logical way to approach it, but I would, if I saw Michael Waka and he just picked up his team option, I'd go, you're a fool. You've got to decline that team option if you're Michael Waka, and I believe that he will decline that team option because you do owe it to yourself. You got one last opportunity, truly, to go out there and see what your worth is on the open market. And I don't think declining the player option means he's done with Kansas City at all.
That just means he might be able to get that more means, from the Royals as well.
Exactly. Like, if you're Michael Waka, the advice that I would give to him as his agent, decline the player option.
Of course.
Let's see what you're worth on the open market. You're coming off a great season. People are going to want to spend money. Pitching's a premium in Major League Baseball. There may be an offer out there you can't refuse. Or the Royals may come to the table and say, hey, before we even get to the end of the season, which is, you know, the beginning of November, let's talk about, you know, getting rid of this option and extending you for 2 years and giving you a third as a player option after that. And that may be something where Waka goes, you know what? I kind of like that. I like where I am right now. Mm-hmm. You're showing me the love. I don't have to worry about all the rigmarole of the free agent process. I can sign a 2-year extension, essentially buying out that player option, giving me 2 more guaranteed years and then a third year of as an option year. That's something I think Michael Waka could do here in Kansas City. But if I'm Michael Waka, I am 1,000% declining that player option because you owe it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to sometimes bet on yourself. And I think all of us in our careers, no matter what it is that you'd like to do, you'd love to be in that position that Michael Waka is in right now, where you're coming off a great year and you know that there's going to be people out there that want you and want to pay you big time money. So that's the advice I would give to Michael Waka. One way or the other, he's going to get a nice paycheck, whether it's in Kansas City or somewhere else.
And I didn't know this, but according to the text line, he's from Iowa. So he's a Midwestern guy.
All right.
Maybe he likes Kansas City that much, because what we've seen is that Kansas City is on the come.
Yeah. Right?
Like, a lot of people like to come here, be here,
yeah,
stay here, not go anywhere. Got a franchise in football that's really good. Got a franchise in baseball that's upticking to be successful. Got a successful women's soccer team. Got a lot of stuff going on in Kansas City, and maybe some people just want to stay here and stick it out. Never know.
Got a text from somebody who says, I was sitting next to Waka's dad at the game the other night, right?
Oh.
He said his dad says he likes it a lot here and will be here next year. Said they will likely pick up the option, but he'll need to add at least a year. So there you go.
So there you
give Michael Waka a little bit of scratch at the end. He's not going to pick up the $16 million option just for that. I'll pick up this option, but give me another year, another 2 years at the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
One of those type of things.
I'll take that contract. Make it like $22 million for 2 years. I don't know. Do what you got to do, because he was a staple in this organization and
He was great. Yeah, he's a good veteran, man.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.